I've heard the cry. I've heard the call. I am here. What is it you require of me this night? Make your need known, saith the Lord. For I am here. I have heard your cry. Yes. I am here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Keep playing, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh,
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Minor power, minor power. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
That feels good.
Yes.
Bless
what a refreshing.
Bless.
Let's thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you for that refreshing. Thank you for that refreshing from your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that refreshing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I have so much I was going to share tonight, but you know, I think I'm just going to go over a few principles tonight. God is in here.
All over the place. All over the place. All over.
He's so thick.
He's thick as hell. Yes, yes.
He is so real in here tonight. He told me he was going to come, and he came. Amen. He's here still.
Amen.
Yes, he is. He's here. You see, God wants to be in our presence. If we can just push away all the rest of the junk, the unbelief and the doubt and the fear and the world that has crushed in on us, if we just push that away. I spend all day just about with the Lord. God's blessed me where I'm able to do that. Amen. He's blessed me so that my mother and sister and all, they come in, they go, are you ever coming out of here? I said, I don't know. I may not. Amen. Because I'm in there with Jesus, and nothing's sweeter and nothing is better. Amen. Hallelujah. Than being with Jesus. I mean, I'm going to spend eternity with him. Amen. And that's still not going to be long enough.
Amen. Amen.
I can never have enough time to spend with him.
Amen.
Because, you know, when we come into the Lord's presence, it's, I know that it's about us in one way, but it's really about him. It's bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And when we bless him, he blesses us in return. It just happens that way. And I don't come into his presence to bless me, but it just happens that way. Amen. I come into his presence to bless him, to worship him. I want to lift him up. Praise God. This generation doesn't know it the way we knew it. Amen. But I believe it's on its way back.
Yes.
And we're going to take pride out the back door, and we're going to shout, and we're going to holler, and we're going to dance, and we're going to speak in tongues, and we're going to prophesy again. And it isn't going to be ushered into the back room anymore. Amen?
Amen.
We've gotten too proper.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
It was a day and a time. The Bible said that speaking in tongues, by the way, is for the unbeliever, and people are saying, you know, well, we don't want that in the auditorium. We don't want nobody speaking in tongues or nobody doing that. It's a sign to the unbeliever, the Bible says. Now, if you're going to put it in the back room, what unbeliever's going to be back there to hear that? See, we never did it that way, did we, sister? We shouted and we praised and we let God be God. And if we're not proper enough for you, there's plenty of those churches.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's the sin of you.
Yes.
You can find them all over the place. But what you can't find, every corner, but what you can't find is a place where the Holy Ghost moved like it did tonight. You can't find that. Amen. Because everybody's got their own program. I was, just to give you an illustration of that, I was at a friend of mine's church in Dallas, Texas, and he's got a very big church, and we were young people in the same youth group together, and he asked me, he's on TV, and the cameras were on, he asked me to testify. Well, he knew what was going to happen when I got up to testify. He already knew that. And the Holy Ghost really felt. But he had his program that day. And he got up there and it was just dead as it could be. He just couldn't do a thing because God fell on me that day. And the Holy Spirit was on me. I'm not lifting me up. I'm just saying that God can shift things. And even if you're on national TV, you go where the cloud goes.
Amen.
And, I mean, didn't Moses, you know, tell us to follow the cloud and the fire? You know, Moses didn't have his agenda. His agenda was God's agenda. God could change it at any time that he wanted to, Sister Amy, at any time. And so, you know, the Holy Ghost fell on me, and so after service, he called me back in his office. He said, "Sister, you sure make it hard on a preacher." I wanted to say, "Brother Danny, let me tell you something. You made it hard on yourself." Amen.
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 If God's thunder's rolling somewhere, let's all go listen to it.
Amen.
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 One man of God many years ago, they said, "How do you do it? How does God use you?" He says, "Listen, I just caught on fire and people just come and watch me burn."
Oh my God. That's good.
And that's all I want. All I want to do. Do you have to be anything fancy to be on fire? I mean, didn't God use a burning bush?
Yes.
They can't, and it wouldn't burn because it, can't he use you and me?
Amen.
I mean, I know that a bush might be a little prettier than some of us even. But that doesn't matter to God how pretty you are.
Amen.
It's how much fire you let in. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk about that burning bush because we're talking about fire on the altar. Moses turned aside when he saw that burning bush.
Okay.
He turned aside.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was not consumed. It could contain it. See, some people get a little bit of the fire and they can't contain it. They blow up. Or they run away. Or burn out. They can't handle the fire. God's looking for a vessel that can handle the fire.
Amen.
Amen. And you've got to have an altar, and you got to have sacrifice on that altar so he can consume that.
Amen.
And God is unveiling in this day and hour the secret of the sacrifices on the altar.
Yes.
And that's where it's going to start. It's not going to start in a pulpit. It's not going to start in a big congregation per se. It's going to start in somebody's prayer closet. That's where it's going to start.
Amen.
You want to hear what God spoke to me today?
Yeah.
I was sitting in the car. Before I come to church, I sit in the car a few minutes. And that's where God usually speaks to me. So I was sitting there. And he said, before, and I wrote it down, he said, before God encounters a people, he encounters a man. And I said, "I never thought of that before, Lord." He said, "I encountered Moses before I encountered Israel."
Yes, amen.
He said, "I encountered Elijah before I touched Ahab's heart to come to watch the Baal prophets burn." Before he starts anything, he encounters us personally. But we've got to be positionally ready.
Yes.
You don't drive a car standing on the roof. You're not supposed to anyhow. Don't y'all try it. You've got to be positioned. What did we talk about last night? Where was Elijah? Where did I say he was? Remember what I said? He was down, remember? Looking at the thighs that had been smitten. Just like Jacob, he was looking at his thighs. I can't make a solution out of this. I can't make it rain. There's nothing I can do. When God smote Jacob, hallelujah, he never walked the same again. He had a limp the rest of his life. God said, just in case you think it's you, just in case you think, come on, just in case you think you're coming up with this stuff, he said, I'm going to let you live the rest of your life so that you know I am the Lord thy God. So he didn't leave you and I out in this. Before he encounters anything in your life, whether it's in your family, your church, your city, he's got to encounter you.
Yes.
And you do like Mary when the angel came. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
Be it unto me according to thy word.
Yes.
And the Lord spoke to me before I came here. And he said, do you remember what Isaac said to Abraham when he was taking him up to the sacrifice? He said, Father, here's the wood. See, y'all preaching it in your head right now. I'm just letting it go. Just let it run.
Let it run.
You see, because whenever you read about the wood in the Bible, it's sacrifice. It has to do with the cross. The old rugged cross.
Yes.
Has to do with the wood. It has to do with sacrifice. And he said, we got everything ready here for the sacrifice, but where is the thing to put on the wood? Where is the thing to put on the sacrifice? And that's what he's asking the church today. You come to me and you want my fire, but there's no sacrifice.
Yes.
You're not laying it down. Now I'm going to give you a few principles tonight. We're going to continue on that tomorrow on the fire. But there was a young man. Now when you go to Africa, if any of you have been there, they call a demon, and I love that.
Amen.
You know, I'm so sick and tired of them calling demons by every kind of name.
Okay.
You know, they give it names, arthritis, cancer, high blood pressure, blindness, deafness. It's a devil, okay?
Amen.
I mean, why do we have to be so complicated?
Yeah.
Amen. They knew it back in Jesus' day. They called it a devil. Now, deaf and dumb devil, come out.
Yeah.
Man.
Amen.
Epilepsy, it's just the devil.
Yes.
So it is.
Yes.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
Is there any corruption in heaven?
No.
No. Well, let it come down here. Amen.
Amen.
I want some of that purity down here.
Hallelujah.
But somewhere between here and there, there's a second heaven. The first heaven is the one you see that's just around you. You look up in the sky, that's the first heaven. Second heaven is where the demonic principalities do their warfare. The third heaven is where God is. Amen?
Amen.
And so therein is our warfare. He comes to us from the second heaven. And he desires to be what I call a hand in glove, which is the devil cannot do anything on this earth unless he has a human occupant to do it through.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because he is a spirit. A demon and a devil is a person without a body. And they seek a body to inhabit.
Yeah.
And I could go through all the ways that they go through that process. There's so many ways that demonic powers come into people's lives. But one thing the disciples recognized, they recognized when the demons would scream and holler, and they recognized Jesus' power over the winds and the waves. And they looked at Jesus and they studied him. And finally, one day, one of them got pretty smart and said, teach us to pray.
Yes.
Teach us to access heaven.
Yes.
Because nobody ever prayed like you do.
Amen.
Nobody ever spoke with the power that you do.
Yes.
Nobody ever had the authority that you not. Woo, woo.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Did you know that before Jesus came, nobody ever cast out devils?
Amen.
Tell me where it is. It ain't there. And the people watched him cast out devils and they said, what is this? We've never seen anything like this before. Read it for yourself.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
What is this? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to set the captives free. And the day he appeared and began to walk this earth, the devil said, it's on now. It's on now. Just give us a pig or something.
Hallelujah.
And they'd run up to Jesus and they'd be the first one to say, Jesus, thou son of David, thou they'd get all nervous because they knew who he was.
Yes.
But he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Do you know what you are carrying? Do you realize that that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it'll quicken your mortal body, and the demons have to obey?
Oh, blessed.
About time we got into our proper place in warfare and let the devil know where his position is. He settled it already. He already settled it. Jesus went into the depths of the earth and he put his name there. He said, devil, just in case you don't know what's going on here, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Messiah. And I'm putting my name in hell, and I've got my name in heaven, and I got my name in my people, and there ain't no place for you to run to. You know how to access those things. Those who don't know, those who don't keep a pure, clean, holy life, they can be taken into deception and exploited. This is a real war. The devil knows his lines. He knows his legal bounds. And he abides by it. He has to, if there's somebody to call him on it.
Amen.
Now, in that second heaven, there is a blanket, I'll call it. I mentioned it, I think, Sunday morning or Sunday night. There's a blanket. And that blanket has, it's the darkness over a territory. Is there one over West Palm Beach? You better believe it. I've hit this devil for many years. And there's a blanket of darkness that settles in the second heaven when he has control over certain areas or certain places. And it's a hard surface. It's like a rock. And it's free to harden and continue to be there unless it's challenged properly. Okay. Now, we claim in this church to be one that's going to change nations.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to learn how this thing works.
Uh-huh.
And get it going on here and in our lives. And then we can carry it wherever we go.
Amen.
Wherever God sends us.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you a little bit how these powers are strengthened. How these demonic powers are strengthened. They receive strength when they get weak. And you know how they get weak? When they're combated, they get weak. And when they want to be refreshed, if you will, there's several ways they do it. And I'm just going to read a few. One of the things is they receive strength from the sacrifice on demonic altars. And if you go to India, Africa, all these places, they have these idols, these gods. And behind that idol or god is a demon power and a demon spirit. And when these demons in the area are being weakened, they receive strength from the worship of the people who come to sacrifice at those altars. They receive strength from all bloodshed. Any bloodshed, they receive strength. If it's not bloodshed, that there is a proper bloodshed. There are times that there is a life that has to be taken for a life. But when it's improper bloodshed, then the blood cries from the ground. Did you read that in Genesis?
Yes.
Do I have a witness in here?
Yes.
Did the blood cry from the ground?
Yes.
What do you think about the millions of babies that are aborted?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Are they crying from the ground? And guess who's getting strengthened by every baby that's aborted? Those principalities and those powers in that second heaven are being strengthened by that bloodletting. Human sacrifice, animal sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest ones that are hitting in this last day. It's the one of the ones that the devil has strengthened himself in the most, and it's sexual immorality. Each act strengthens his kingdom. He has a real kingdom. He has a real kingdom. It's a functioning, well-formed kingdom. He has a hierarchy. He has principalities. I can go into that, but I may just wait. I can tell you about the principalities, the powers, and I can go through each one of those, but we'll wait on that a little bit. But each time that sexual perversion is done, the demonic powers are strengthened. How many demonic sexual acts do you think is going on right this moment in this town within a block or two of this place? So many, we'd probably just, our head would probably fall off just thinking about it. And the demonic kingdom is strengthened by that. That's why I am teaching you to take your children into your prayer closet with you. And when you go out with your children and you see, I'm going to say it, homosexuality, and you see other things like that, the way people dress or do, you point to them and say, God loves them, but he's got to punish that thing. Amen. Amen. And baby, you don't want to be one of those that's under God's punishment. Now, when we get home today, sweetie, we're going to hit our prayer closet and we're going to pray over what we just seen. Amen. And call that thing down. Amen. And you teach them right and wrong. You point it out. You see something on TV and say, you see that person just went with a gun and shot all those people, sweetheart? That's a demon of murder that needed some bloodletting so that he could be strengthened, because somebody's prayer was weakening the principality over that area. So a demon went into somebody and they needed blood, and they went out there and they shot people, and as many people as they could shoot is how much blood and comfort the demonic power. See, baby, that's what happens. Let's get to our prayer closet. Honey, if we would teach our children like that, we'd have a generation coming up knowing what it's like to be in warfare.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I was raised that way.
Amen.
Nobody jerked me away when a demon started screaming out. I saw the whole thing. Is that right? Nobody said, oh, my baby shouldn't be seeing that. Listen, I came up with a healthy respect of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And I knew there was a difference. Give God glory. The baby gets scared or starts crying. You say, it's all right, baby. Jesus is taking care of something. He's cleaning up a mess, baby. It's okay. So you know how you spilled that soap on the floor last week? Mama had to clean it up. Say, that's what Jesus is doing right now. Now I'm going to teach you how your prayers appear in the second heaven. Now, have y'all heard any of this stuff before? Is some of this new to you? I mean, did I tell you I was going to tell you stuff you probably never heard before?
Yes.
Listen, I've been on some training ground. I fight real principalities and powers. When you travel and you carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, every place you go has a different arena that you have to fight in. And some ain't so pretty. Amen?
Amen.
I've had my life threatened many times. Devil ain't playing games. This is a life and death thing.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And I'm in it till God's finished with me.
Yes.
Now, we'll talk about three types of prayer. But before I get into that tonight, I want to explain to you something. Whichever type of prayer you're operating in right now, whatever level of God you're in right now, don't be discouraged wherever your level is. If you'll continue to persevere, fast, pray, and put God first, and repent, and ask God continually to cleanse you. This isn't a one-time thing. You just don't go and repent one time. Get real. That's like the man getting married and saying, never telling his wife he loves her anymore. He says, look, I told her when we got married, that's it. She don't need to know it anymore.
Jesus.
It's ridiculous.
Jesus.
So, no matter where you're at, you persevere, you repent, you continually roll it over to God. You continually stay and get it. Start listening to the Holy Ghost. Start listening to Him. Because He'll send you these little red flags. He will. He'll send you these little red flags. And He'll say, something is zapping your strength right now. Walk away from this conversation.
Amen.
Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Something is taking your strength right now. Take your eyes off of that TV. Something is zapping your strength right now. You need to go back to your prayer closet. See, we're to abide in the vine. We're never to step out of it. And me and some of my sisters was talking last night after church. I like to never shut up. I preached sermon 2 and 3 outside. Yes, I did. Did I? We went into a couple more sermons out there last night. Where's my street preaching sister? Amen. All right, the first kind of prayer. This is how it appears to the second heaven. You see this prayer going up, and it looks like smoke, and it kind of drifts, and it gets up, and it just kind of disappears. That's because the person who's praying is living in some kind of compromise or sin. Maybe they don't even know they are. They just know they can't get a prayer through. They don't understand what's going on. That's why I'm explaining it to you. You don't quit and give up, because that's Satan's purpose for not allowing your prayers through, not allowing you to see the sin or whatever it is in your life. He doesn't want your prayer through. But the devil sees it, and they see that little smoke coming up, and they go, oh, don't even worry about that. That's going to disappear. They're not going to persevere. They're not going to keep praying. They're going to give up. They're going to walk away. Remember the story of the seed, how some of it gets deep-rooted, but some of it, you know what I'm talking about. So that's the first type of prayer that the devil sees in the second heaven. The second type of prayer he sees is one that's probably a little more prevalent in the church, because it'll reach that rock. It'll actually get, that smoke will actually get to that rock, but it can't break through. And that's because these are people who are trying to purify themselves, but they lack faith in what they're doing. They're trying, but they give up. And they don't persevere. They lack faith that their prayers are being heard, because the devil's standing there whispering in your ear, going, that ain't never going to happen. God ain't going to answer that prayer. You ain't got enough faith for that. You know that'll never happen. And you just lack that perseverance. It gets up there. But now we're going to talk about number 3. This is my favorite one. This smoke is filled with fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Literally, folks. This smoke has fire in it. Now, the minute the demons in the second heaven see this smoke with fire in it, they get all kinds of nervous. Because it gets up to that thing, and if that prayer keeps going up, and the fire gets brighter and hotter, then it sears through that rock. It sears through it. And it gets so hot that it puts a hole right through that thing and goes right up to the third heaven. And it's so hot that the demons within a certain perimeter of it have to move away. They can't take the heat. And there's also disembodied spirits, witches and warlocks, who astro project, and they put their time in. They actually have time periods that they travel into the demonic spirit realm to do warfare against Christians. Oh yeah, that's all they are. Got the sinners. You're the one. You're the target. All of that stuff going on is against you guys. So we need to know what's going on. But it melts like wax and it pierces through. And any types of these prayers can change as you continue to persevere. But it's so hot that it opens the heavens. And when that happens, you can feel like something surrounding you. Now, if you've ever felt that, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you've walked into a bubble, and everything that's happening is outside. I mean, you see it, you hear it, but it's not. You know what I mean? You're separated from it. And you walk in that glory. But sometimes around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, we start to fade. Now, I want to tell you that what to look out for. We have to focus and be inspired by the Spirit all day long. The fire that has touched and melted that place can close over. And I want to tell you the ways it happens. Because it feels so good to be in that place where you've got that open heaven. It's when prayer feels smooth. It feels easy. It feels fulfilling. You know you've reached someplace. You know you've got, you know God heard you. You know He's there. You have, you don't even have to muster up faith. You know that you know that you know. You have sent up a searing, hot, fiery prayer that has singed a bunch of demons on its way up.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. So what happens is the evil agents, they see this fire coming up and they begin to communicate with one another. And it even happens in a service sometimes. You'll be praying for someone, let's say someone has glaucoma. And that demon starts to get weak. And as you're praying, coming against that glaucoma, let's say somebody else on the other side also has glaucoma. That demon from that person is calling out to the demon on that person, trying to strengthen their place there so that they don't have to leave. They call out strength to one another. So when you begin to send up this searing hot prayer, you become marked by the kingdom of darkness. And immediately they send people, not people, disembodied spirits, demons and devils, to scout you out and to find your weaknesses and to work on those so that you'll stop that stuff.
Jesus.
When you cast out demons, they're so funny. They'll say things like, "I ain't bothering you, why you bothering me? Let me go my way, and I'll do my thing, and you do yours." And they're hilarious. They're so funny. They really are. So they begin to target you, and they begin to find the areas that you're weak in so that they can stop you. And it can be a phone ringing. And let me tell you something. When you get in that place where you're, where you got that open heaven going on, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in that place. Once you get there, you can go as long and as hard and as fast as you want to go. Amen? And you don't have to stop until the Holy Spirit tells you to stop, and you can get real. And when you're in that place, there's nothing the devil can do. Nothing. Nothing he can do. He can't touch you. He can't get near you. The fire around you is so hot. Sometimes when you're cast out devils, they can't even look at you. They're like, the fire's so hot, they can't look at you or get close to you. I want to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. I want him to feel the fire of God. I want him to know that there's nothing he can do when I'm in that place with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The devil knows that as you're pressing and you're repenting and you're allowing the word to check your spirit, and faith is building, and your focus is where it needs to be, and the distractions you've left behind, and he knows that. But if he can get you to break that, just as you're searing through, then quickly he can cover it back up. And you're like, where'd he go? What happened? I thought I could go to the refrigerator and get a drink of water. I thought I could answer the phone. I thought I could text my husband. Or I thought I could, see, and you do that, and then the devil goes, whew, good distraction.
Gotcha.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes he'll come at you with pain. He'll come at you with hunger. But this opening can remain open. And then what happens is, like, wherever you go, that pillar from heaven that's resting on you, protecting you, seems to touch and disconcert every demonic power that it comes in contact with. And there's been times that I've just been somewhere. One time I was walking into a 7-Eleven, and this guy was on the phone, and all of a sudden he started growling at me. I'm like, okay, I got you. I know who you are. Because you're walking in that open heaven.
Yes.
And the realms that are around you are going to be affected by that.
Yes.
One sister I know that's a minister, she went into a store, a Costco's, and she got up to the cashier, and the cashier ducked down behind the cashier thing and started cussing her out and wouldn't get up and started barking like a dog. And the manager came over and said, "Is there a problem here?" My friend said, "Yeah, but it ain't with me." She said, "You better check your helper here." And she's down there. My Lord. So much power in that. That you begin to discern things. You come in contact with people. I'll be walking in Walmart and I'll come in contact with somebody and I begin to discern this and that about their life. That's when you're walking under that heaven, under that realm, under that pillar, under that fire, under that cloud, under that glory, under that Shekinah, under that kabod, under that mighty power pillar of God that has no end, that's eternal in the heavens, reaching from heaven to earth. Glory to God, sending signals, bringing down angels, setting up things, bringing down principalities. Oh, glory to God, it's Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah, it's mighty, it's powerful, it has no end of his kingdom. There shall be no end of his kingdom. There shall be no end. Oh, glory to God. When we get that going on, things begin to shake and quake. You're too hot to handle. It's so real. When others stand close to it, their bondages begin to break off. You go to witness to someone, maybe you try a lot of times and you can't get through, but you get under that glory and you get close to them and they weaken. They let go of some of that and you're able to then actually, and they might have a little bit of, you know, negative things going on, but you can tell there's a softening. You can tell there's a piercing. And it doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth, you see what's going inside. Thank you, Lord. The resistance of the unbeliever becomes lower. And prayer for the sick is more powerful when you walk into that open heaven. The place where you pray causes the presence of God to fall on that place. And that's why it's important to pray in your church and in your home and in your workplace. Because where you go, the fire goes. Hallelujah. Because see, Hallelujah. Oh, I'm having a party inside. I've already seen this in my head. Okay, I'm going to share it with you. The fire that was over Israel is now in you. Do you follow me? It used to have to guide them above them, but now it resides in the heart of the bride of Jesus Christ. And wherever she goes, that fire goes with her. And wherever she goes, dominion goes with her. And wherever she goes, hallelujah, there's power coming out of her mouth. People coming under that presence become more approachable than they were before. Talk about the great moves of God in the past when Maria Wadsworth Etter and people would come into a town with their tent. Read about these people. It's awesome. They'd come into an area and people within 5-10 miles would go out in the spirit and not even be in the tent. Not even know she was there or he was there. Begin to have dreams and visions of heaven and hell. Why? Because it was an open heaven over that person. And when they went as an apostle. And I told you the other night, everybody says they're an apostle. They're not an apostle. Because they come in and say a few words, pray over a few people, take an offering and leave town and ain't nothing changed. Can we say amen?
Amen.
An apostle never goes to a place that it don't change. Give the Lord a hand. An apostle stays in the desert place till he's called into the city. He stays put away until God, because when he comes out of that desert place, when he comes out of that hiding place, he... He is armored for war. He's ready for battle. He's got the armor on. He come to do something. He come to lay down the law. Oh, he come to change lives. He comes to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. He comes full put up behind you. So if you have any question over who's an apostle, see what happens when they're gone, if it's still going on. If God's still moving, if people have changed, not the same old, same old. There's nothing like the status quo with what I'm talking about. When this thing hits your life, it changes you forever. You are unsatisfied with the world, and the world is unsatisfied with you.
Tell it the truth.
Now that's the words of Jesus.
That's him, all the way.
I ain't telling you some strange gospel.
Thank you, God.
Mm-mm, miss it.
Hallelujah.
We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You need to maintain it.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you another key. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory and the power forever and ever. When you get ready to leave your prayer closet, go to God and you say, Lord, I'm going to leave this place right now. I know you're going with me. And I've had an awesome time with you. And I have felt your glory. I've felt your touch. And you've caused my heart to weep and my spirit to tremble. But Lord, I'm fixing to go out into the world that hates me and hates you. And I'm asking you right now, lead me not into temptation. Don't let my mouth speak gossip. Don't let my heart be discontented. Don't let me harbor resentment. I'm going into the darkness now to be a looking for somebody who will be in agreement with him. He works just like the kingdom of God. It's powerful in the kingdom of God when you have agreement.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And it's powerful in the kingdom of darkness when he has agreement. And he has to have your agreement to work in your life. So don't give him any. Amen? Say, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I have made a covenant with my ears. I have made a covenant with my heart. The Bible said to guard your heart.
Amen.
Out of it flows that issues of life. With all diligence.
Yes.
You mean we're never let down? Not till you get in that open heaven. Don't you ever relax till you get in that open heaven. That's your place of resting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Yes.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give the Lord praise. Number one, lead us not into temptation. Number two, thank him in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you.
That's right.
No matter what happens, you need to thank God. You don't know what he's doing in you or in others or what he has spared you from. Thank the Lord in all things. You want power with God? You want power over the enemy? You begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Somebody hits the rear end of your car, raise your hands and say, I praise you, Lord. I thank you. I glorify your holy name. I come to you with worship and praise. I thank you, Jesus, that you have spared me for another day.
Another day, that's right, another day.
Because these witches, they sit up on corners and they do nothing but try to cause car accidents.
Tell it.
I'm telling you.
Gotta cut your charge. Cut your...
Thank him in all things. Keep your armor on. Number three, keep your armor on. It's there in Ephesians. Read it and put it on.
Oh, armor of God.
Now, this is a key, and I'm going to tell you about this key.
Yes.
In the second heaven, when they're doing warfare against your angel, let's say you get to that third heaven with your prayers, and your angel soars up to get that answer to save your loved one or whatever it be. But you don't have the full armor on. It affects your angel. And when your angel comes back through the second heaven,
wounded.
You haven't
wounded.
Put on your helmet.
Wounded. Yes, exactly.
The devil says, strike the head.
Wounded, that's right.
You haven't put on your feet shod with preparation of peace. Get to the feet. Mm. He can detain your angel. What happened when Daniel was praying? Help me out.
Yes,
what do you think happened? He was detained.
Yes.
He was detained. And that angel and that answer can be detained. Keep your armor on. Keep your armor on. Give your angel a break today. Amen.
That's right.
If the person doesn't pray through after that heaven closes, when you go through those times where it's closed back, then another strange thing happens, and I have seen this in so many lives. People are trying to reach God, they're trying to do the right thing, but they don't want to go by legal boundaries. The Bible said that unless you win lawfully, you strive unlawfully, you're not going to get the prize.
Right.
So some people, and I've seen it many times, and seen demons who have worked in people who wanted the power of God, and God wasn't fast enough for them. So they begin to get a demonic power looking like an angel of light coming to deceive them, to counterfeit them, to lie to them. And then they begin to tell you just a little thing off here and there, and they begin to walk in power, but deception. Church, we better begin to know the difference in the spirit of divination and the spirit of wisdom and prophecy.
Amen. Amen.
I was holding a revival in Dallas, Texas a few years ago. And a man came in to my meeting. We had how many months was that? It was a 3 or 4 month revival. We were having a move of God. And this man came in, and I knew he was somebody. I knew he had some kind of reputation or something going on. And I'm looking at him, and people are whispering and punching each other. He was some famous prophet in the city, had a church, all these people. And I found out later, how he could prophesy and read people's mail. But I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to minister like I am tonight, and I kept getting this block. I'd go this way, and it would block. I'd go that way, it would block. I'd go the other way, it would block. And I said, and I saw this demon power come out of the back of the wall of the church. And I said, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching, and all this is going on in the spirit realm. And I'm thinking, all right, who are you and where are you operating from? And I saw him attached to this man.
Yes.
He wanted to be recognized, take the microphone, and begin to prophesy to people.
Mm-mm.
And these people were just, you don't know how wonderful this man of God is. I said, God, have mercy on us. We don't know God from the devil. We don't know a spirit of sorcery and divination from the...
All right. Hey, true.
Now, these people are really walking in power, folks.
Amen.
But not the right one. And they look so close. And they, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And they, God this and Jesus that and all the other, but they're still working in a spirit of divination. A girl began to follow the Apostle Paul, and she said, these men are of God. Hear ye them. They've come to tell you about salvation. They come to tell you about the way of life. Listen to them. Let me tell you something, church. You better have your eyes open, your ears open, because everything that wiggles and calls itself of God is not.
Thank you.
And if there's ever a day and hour I have seen deception, it's this day. I am fed up to hear with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to go confront them. God said, just hold back. I'll take care of it. I just get so upset. I'll see them on TV and different things, and I get so upset. Because I know what they're working in. Some of the biggest names that you know of are working in divination.
Yes.
Some of the most famous ministries you know of are working in divination.
Amen.
If you're not working, you know how to tell? Think about this. If you pulled away every bit of fame, fortune, and dignity, and take everything from them, and they had to go preach the gospel on a street corner, day after day, would they do it?
No.
If they would not, they are not of God. I am working for the kingdom of God. I ain't working for fame, fortune, man. God's got heaven, man don't. And that's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, and that's who I want to hold hands with is Jesus Christ. So it don't matter to me if you give me any money, if you give me any fame, if I get on your TV program, or you tell everybody it doesn't matter to me. I know who I am. I know who I'm working for. I know who's going to pay me. I know who's going to reward me. I'll come up and tell you that song. So many of them are open to angels of the enemy. Many of them start out right. They start out with the true thing, but they end up in a lie. They end up in a lie. And the Bible says, and you tell me if I'm wrong, It says many will say in that day. Does it say many?
Yes.
Does it say a few?
Many.
It says many. Do you know what that word many means? It means most. Look out now. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name and prayed and prophesied and did this and did that? And he says, depart from me, I know you not. You better know who you serve, and you better know that you're working with against a very clever demon. You're working against a very clever devil in this last day. And the Bible said, if it were possible in the last days, even the elect would be fooled.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the devil isn't going to come looking like the devil.
Amen.
Out behind his black coat. It'd be easy if you could see a little horn sticking up, but he's going to come with an angelic look, with a halo around his head and a Bible in his hand, because heresy is a twist of the true word of God. Just a very slight twist, just enough to be a lie and deceive people. There is a man, I will not call his name, but I'm going to tell you what he's teaching. There is a man, people by the billions, they are following him left and right. He's on TV around the world, and he's preaching a lie and saying, if you really read between the lines and you read his books that he wrote, he is saying that Christians don't have to ever repent again.
Oh, wow.
Never. He says, Jesus did it all. When you come into the kingdom, it's already done. You never have to repent again. Watch out, because when I read Revelation, he says to the church, if you don't repent and come back and do your first work,
all over. Over. All over. All over. That's right.
This man is one of the biggest and most famous. And I had to call a few of my friends down on it. They said, oh, he's so wonderful. So wonderful. And thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Because when I first saw his book about 7 years ago, I saw one of his books at a dear friend's house. And it was sitting there. And I looked at, me and my daughter looked at it. We both went, ooh. Immediately, we knew. So I said, I don't know what's wrong with that man, but something ain't God.
Amen.
And I could not, and I never watched him until just recently. Someone just kept saying, oh, you've got to watch him. He is the most wonderful, powerful, wonderful, 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 wonderful. So I watched him. I thought, wow. Wow. He did. Not only that, he was so close to great truths. Great, great truths. So close. And I'm like, it is blowing my hair back. I said, wow, 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 wow. And then I heard just a little bit. Someone might have missed it, but I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it. I said, there you are, devil.
Yeah.
There you are.
Twisted.
I looked online, and I looked up his name, and I looked up his teaching, and there it was.
Twisted.
And I got caught into this big trap on Facebook, talking to people who were telling me how wonderful this man was. And I told them what he taught. Some of them listened, some of them did not. Because when people begin to idolize a person, they will receive the deception. But my Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you better not idolize any man or woman. I don't care who we are. I am just a mouthpiece and a human like you. Thank God that he's chosen to use me. But at the same time, church, you need to know we're humans.
Amen.
And we can be deceived. And I've known many people who have been deceived.
Yes.
Do you want to be deceived?
No.
Keep your armor on. Lead us not into temptation. Praise him in all things. Be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And be ready to be, this is the next one, be obedient.
Yes.
A lot of times, you'll wake up and you'll hear the Lord say, fast today. And you'll go, oh, not today, Monday. I'll fast Monday.
Yes.
The reason the Holy Spirit is talking to you about that is because there's something going on in the second heaven you don't know about. So you go ahead and don't fast and let that open heaven close up if you want to. But if you'll learn to be obedient, you'll save yourself a lot of trials and heartaches. When God says, the Holy Spirit comes on you and says, I want you to fast today. I'll tell you about something happened to me not too long ago, and then we'll close tonight. But I woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit said, fast today. And I said, why? And he wouldn't tell me why. I fasted. And the next day, my husband was watching the news, and I walked in there, and on the border, it was either New Mexico or Arizona, I can't remember which, but on one of the borders, some man had grabbed a little girl, 5 or 6 year old girl, threw her in the back of the van, and had taken off to take her across the border. And a man next door saw that man grab that girl, and he went after them, got in his car and went after him, and the man wrecked into a tree, and he went and got the little girl out and spared her life. And I'm sitting there watching that, and God said, that's why I had you fast yesterday. Amen. Give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
So we're going to continue tomorrow probably on warfare, demonic powers and kingdoms of darkness, and learning how to fight. Have you learned something tonight?
Amen.
Are you going to put it to use?
Amen.
Let's say a prayer, and then we're going to take the offering tonight. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've opened the eyes of your people. That you're not going to allow us to fall into deception, because we've got our armor on.
Yes.
We're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening, God, to what you have to say. We're not going to see every wolf in sheep's clothing, God, right away. So we ask you to prompt us to know. We ask you to let us know what we're putting our time and our money and our effort behind, God, that we be not deceived. Or our seed does not grow because it's put in the wrong ground. God, we want our seed to prosper, oh God. No matter what that seed is to bring forth, we want it to prosper. So God, we thank you for uncovering and unveiling the enemy. Now I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone in here that they be protected tonight, that there not be any retaliation over this truth being unveiled to us, that the covering of the power and the power of the Holy Spirit be upon everyone here, their cars, their children, their homes, their jobs, everything that you've given us, God, that there be no demonic repercussions for our good works this night, that you completely cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ, that there's no devil can get any nook or cranny or any part of where we're at. And I thank you right now, God, that you're working exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, and you're moving in our midst, and you're doing great and mighty things, and you're making us warriors so that we can take nations and train them, oh God, in spiritual warfare, so that they can come forth as a mighty armor, Joel 2 armory, that does not break its rank. I give you glory. I give you praise for your glorious, wonderful name in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.